Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. The Celtics wipe the floor with the Sixers in Game 2. Jason Tatum was awesome. The bench was a difference maker. And it looks like Philly wants to quit. Let's talk about it right now. Millions, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global, but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Happy Thursday, I'm John Corrales. I am the Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com. And the Boston Celtics, whoo baby, that was a hell of a win. 128-101 over the Philadelphia 76ers. And I thought this was a key game for the Celtics. And boy, did they come out and do everything that they needed to do for most of this game to take a 2-0 lead. And I gotta tell you, man, Philly does not look great. Gonna talk about the positives, the negatives. Were there negatives? Maybe not. Maybe there'll just be more positives. And some other things from this game. Want to remind everybody that Thursday night is the NBA draft lottery. And Jake Madison and I, my regular co-host on the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast, we're going to have live reactions on Locked On Live. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, or Twitch. It's at Locked On Live. Get notified as soon as we go live for a post-draft lottery show. So, like I said in this one, the positives, there were some couple negatives, not really. But let's just dive into what went right for the Boston Celtics. And let's just start with Jason Tatum, who had everything cooking in this game, shot 12 of 20, that's 60% from the field, 8 of 12, that's just about 67% from three, and dropped 33 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. After a couple of early fouls, didn't commit another foul. He was a plus 29 on the night. Jason Tatum was just doing whatever he wanted. And it's pretty obvious that the Philadelphia 76ers have nothing for Tatum. It's, you know, Ben Simmons was going to be the guy that checked Tatum. They started Matisse Thybulle in this one. It didn't matter. Tatum did okay. Thybulle did okay to start the game, but Tatum got going later and really, The Sixers never had much chance. Once he had a couple of these shots fall, there was never any doubt. And Tatum, I know coming into the bubble, we were wondering, can Tatum get back to what he was before the shutdown? Well, this comes from the Globe's Adam Himmelsbach, who tweeted out, in the 8 games since his 1-for-17 opener in the bubble, Jason Tatum is shooting 53.7% from the field and 51.6% on threes. That is just a dumb number. That is just a number that's, I don't even know how you sustain that number. It's and the types of shots that he's hitting, the step backs, the side steps, the floaters, these shots that he's hitting, they're not all easy shots. Now, he does have some more space. There were a couple of opportunities there, especially in the fourth quarter when Philly decided to go with a full court press and they didn't really know how to do the full court press very well. And they left some, you know, guys committed all over the floor. When you commit it out to 94 feet, there are going to be a lot of holes. If you can get past that first wave of defenders, there are going to be some open looks, and Jason Tatum cashed in on some of those open looks. But one of these makes in this one was a logo buzzer beater where Tatum thought it was going to be a backcourt and it turns out it was deflected. So he heaved one from Damian Lillard distance, and it should have been a foul. It should have been a four-point play. It's just very clear that the Sixers just don't have anything for Tatum. No one can defend him. Thibault is a good defender, but he's 6'5", and he just can't contest. Tatum has length. He's got height on Thibault. All he's got to do is just sidestep, and he gets a clean look. It doesn't matter. So if he's hitting those shots, forget it. Just forget it. One of the other big positives, the Celtics bench. You know, we might over the course of time forget that Philly had a 13, 14 point lead in this game early on. And it wasn't until the bench, well, I shouldn't say it exactly like that, but that bench unit, it was Tatum along with Grant Williams, Brad Wanamaker, Enes Kanter, and Romeo Langford. Romeo Langford playing with torn ligaments in his wrist. That unit went out there and turned an 8-point deficit into a 5-point lead before the subs came in, which was huge. And in that, it was about just under 7 minutes. Joel Embiid, who'd had a 15-point first quarter, was 1-for-3 in that stretch. Enes Kanter came in and was defending Embiid really well. That his physicality, his strength, it was on display. And early on, we were sitting there wondering, like, oh God, are these Kanter minutes going to work? And now you're sitting there wondering, like, do you start Enes Kanter against the Sixers in Game 3? Because there's two straight hot starts for the Sixers. And is that something that, do you want to mess with that? Do you want to take a chance on them staying hot in one of these? I mean, it was unsustainable what Philly was doing in the first quarter. I mean, they hit 10 of 12 to start the quarter. And after that, it just all kind of fell apart for them. But the Celtics, maybe they don't want to give up these hot starts. Maybe you start Enes Kanter. Maybe you just flip the rotation a little bit. So, I mean, Kanter, I'm critical of Kanter when he's not good. I'm going to defend him when he is good. He was good in this one. His time on the floor against Embiid was a big, big positive. Embiid spent a lot of time taking jump shots. A lot of his makes were those just mid-range shots, which are shots that I'm perfectly willing to let him take. If that's how he wants to play the game, fine. Absolutely fine. Send the message out to the Philadelphia 76ers. He can have that shot all he wants. If Embiid is going to hurt the Celtics, it's because he's down low and he's dominating them in the post and he's getting them in foul trouble and he's living at the line, which, you know, he did to some degree. But again, when you look at Joel Embiid's line, you say, wow, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 11 of 12 shooting, 12 of 13 from the line. That's a stat line that you say, wow, what a dominant game from him. But at no point in this game, just like in game one, I said the exact same thing after game one. At no point in this game, aside from maybe the early part, but even then he was just hitting jumpers. At no point did I say, wow, Joel Embiid is dominating this game. We are screwed here. This is going to be bad. The Celtics are done. They can't do anything with Embiid. No, not for one iota did I think that. Because the shots that he was hitting were the ones that the Celtics wanted to give him. And when Kanter was checking him, he made things just a little bit more difficult. But even then, beyond Enes Kanter, Grant Williams came in and hit open threes. Romeo Langford played decent defense. And these guys came in, played within themselves. They didn't try to do too much. And alongside Jason Tatum, it was a perfect combination because Tatum could just go off. Tatum went off and just did whatever he wanted. The Sixers cooled down, partly because the Celtics bench, the perimeter defenders, Wanamaker and Langford, were all up, getting up into the Sixers perimeter players, making it so they couldn't get to the spots that they wanted easily. They prevented the Sixers from getting like deep into the paint. They really forced them to just move the ball around the perimeter. It was a really good defensive effort. And, you know, the Wanamaker, Romeo Langford stat lines aren't going to be particularly great, but they came in and did the job to the point where Brad Stevens said after the game, said, I never could have sat here and told you I was going to go with that lineup for that long in the second quarter, but they made it so I couldn't take them out. And it's true. And there were a couple of points there. I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's time to get somebody in there. Maybe this magic ride is about over. But he rode with them the right amount of time. And by the time the starters came back in, they had turned this into the momentum was all Boston's. Another positive here, Kemba Walker was finding his shot. He has so much space because of the way the Sixers are defending the Celtics. Embiid is dropping so far back, but the way the Sixers are dropping back, they're almost trying to follow the Milwaukee Bucks kind of defense, and it is just not. They're not the Milwaukee Bucks defensively. And what ends up happening is Kemba Walker's getting like wide open mid-range shots. And while obviously every defense is geared towards giving you the mid-range shots, I mean, to have them be that open, that's just a warm-up shot. So Kemba he said after the game, I've never had that much space. It's just, I don't know what to do with it. He shot 8 of 16. Now, he was 1 of 6 from 3. The three-pointers that he was getting, I think, are still good shots. He just hasn't been hitting them. But 8 of 16 from the field, that would be, what, 7 of 10 from 2, and then 5 of 5 from the line. I mean, Kemba's night was pretty good, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. But if Philly's going to keep giving him that kind of clean look, then keep taking those shots. I'm all for it. Keep doing it. Those little mid-range shots are going to pile up. And if he's taking them with nobody around him, he's going to hit them at a high enough clip where that's going to be a good shot. All you got to do is hit half of them. And I don't know what the breakdown is from this game, but I'll bet that he hit about that. And that's just going to be a killer. It's like death by a thousand paper cuts. Like that type of thing is just going to pick them apart, and it's going to be disheartening. So good to see Kemba. Up next, more positives. Why not? Because there were a lot more positives. I'm very positive about rockauto.com. Now we know anybody that knows me knows I'm not a big car guy. So I can still use rockauto.com to get the things that I need for my car, because I'll still need windshield wipers and motor oils and maybe a new carpet and different things for the inside of my car. The things that I can do. You might be a car guy. You might know something about cars. You can use rockauto.com to get the part that you need for your car. Don't go to one of these chain stores. Don't go to a dealership, that's for sure, because you could end up spending 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same parts that you can get at rockauto.com. That's, you go into one of those chain stores, you're just going to tell somebody to whatever information it is that they're going to enter into a computer, and then they're going to have to get that part sent delivered anyway. So don't waste your time. Your time is precious. Don't bother going into the store. Go to rockauto.com. They have the same price for everybody, while whether you are a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, their prices are the same no matter what the market will bear. Like, it's not like an airline ticket where they go up and down all over the place. It doesn't require membership, no login, no nothing. It's easy to navigate. The catalog is unique, and it's got everything that you need for your vehicle. You choose the brand, you choose the specifications, you choose the price that you prefer to pay. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. Segment 2 is where I normally go over negatives. Not a whole lot of negative in this one. I will say that Daniel Theis early in the game still looked a bit tentative, and I would still like to see him be more aggressive. Although his being tentative kind of led to Enes Kanter getting more minutes, and that is a positive. So it worked out. But no, Daniel Theis needs to be more assertive. And if he's got shots, if he's got the opportunity to take shots, then he should do it. They actually started off doing what I thought they should do, which was sending Daniel Theis to the corner. And he took one three. He didn't take another. But I thought that was going to work, but I don't think Theis was really anxious to shoot the ball very much. So when he's in there, he still needs to take the shot and be aggressive. The Celtics' first quarter defense in general, I thought, was actually not great. Not until later on. The Sixers kind of got themselves to the spots that they wanted. It wasn't entirely... great offense, but it was much better offense than game one. And when Brad Stevens talked about that second unit, he talked about that physicality, them coming in and being tougher. So the Celtics did come out soft, and that did set up that 14-point deficit. So those are the negatives, and those were turned around. And thankfully, that second unit was a group that could do those things. And if we're looking forward, I'm hoping that the Celtics don't relax in game three and think, hey, look, we kind of messed around, and you know, we still won game one. Game two, we won going away, and it was not even close after the second quarter. And yeah, we got them. I hope the Celtics can go out there and really shut them down in game three. I think, seriously, the first half, just come out strong. If the Celtics come out in that first quarter and attack, and they're the ones that come out hot, I don't think Philly's got anything. I think Philly has like a quarter and a half of fight left in them. Like, that's it. But I'll talk more about that later. Jaylen Brown, we'll get to more positives. A very quiet 20-5. For Jaylen Brown, but he hit some big early shots, clutch shots to me. And regular listeners will know that this is a concept that I believe in. Clutch shots don't have to come in the fourth quarter. Clutch shots don't have to be in the final 2 minutes of a close game. In the first quarter, when the Sixers have it going, he comes in and hit some clutch shots. It's 27-14 with about 3.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. He has a strong drive and he gets a layup. It's 29-16, a minute later, he cuts backdoor for a dunk. It's 31-18 shortly after that, and he steps up and he hits a three to cut that lead to 10. So what was a 14-point lead, at that point, the thing with a team like Philly, Philly's a very front-running team. They are going to do great if things are going their way, they can really ride that momentum. That's why they're so good at home, because they can really ride momentum. They need momentum to fuel their success. So as these shots start falling, like if they start missing and the other team starts hitting, then they start to fall apart. And so Brown, I thought those shots that he hit, especially that three to cut it to 10, because that kind of started a little bit of a run for the Celtics. They ended up going into the second quarter down 8. It would have been a much different game if they had gone into the second quarter down 15. I think the Sixers might have had a little bit more energy in them. But the fact that Jalen was able to hit those early shots were, I think, clutch. And that helped keep the Celtics close, and then that helped set up what happened in that second quarter. The Celtics also made all of these big plays. Third quarter, Celtics were up 72-59. So it's a 13-point lead. Kemba drives, he gets blocked, and he slides out of like down the baseline. So Philly comes back. Now here's an opportunity to get it to an 11-point game or a 10-point game. And the momentum, here we go. But Kemba comes back and pokes the ball free from Joel Embiid. Then the Celtics, on that same play, Tatum gets the loose ball, throws it up ahead to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen has that 360 dunk. And now, all of a sudden, instead of 72-62 or 72-61, it's 74-59. That's a big swing. That's a very big swing. I think that is a clutch kind of play. Another play like that, the Celtics were, so they got the lead to 20. And I thought, as soon as this lead gets to 20, Philly's basically toast. The Celtics they did what they do a little bit. They kind of like got a little cute. The Sixers got a little close. It was about a 16-point lead. And you think, well, if Philly can come down, if somebody hits a three, if somebody gets a shot, you know, it's just close enough where it's almost uncomfortable. And then the Celtics, Brad Stevens calls a timeout, resets his team. I thought that was a great timeout. Resets his team. Then Romeo Langford, of all people, drills a three. They get a stop. Tatum hits a three. So now instead of 16 points and maybe the Sixers string a couple of baskets together and it's a close game, it goes from 16 points to the biggest lead of the game at 94-72. That all of a sudden it's a 22-point game and it's basically in the bag. Those are just huge, huge baskets. Those are game-winning type baskets to me, because when you can shut the other team's momentum down, and that happens a couple of times a game, 2-3 times a game, earlier in each quarter, there are opportunities when you've built a big lead and the other team's starting to try to make its run. If you have the opportunity to shut down that run, I consider that a clutch basket. Shutting down what could be another team's run, having these swings where you get a stop and it becomes like an 8-point swing, those are clutch moments in these games. And they solidify a blowout in a game where you never know. A guy gets hot and it becomes tougher than it needs to be. So those are some of the other positives. We'll look at things from a little bit of a Philly perspective when we come back, because I don't know what's going on with it. Well, no one knows what's going on with the Sixers. They're just a mess. You might be a mess in your house after watching all of this basketball. Have you had time to go shopping? Have you had time to get groceries? Probably not. And there's more playoff basketball tomorrow. So why don't you open up your DoorDash app and get yourself some lunch or some dinner. It doesn't matter what kind of food you want, whatever you're craving, it's going to be on DoorDash. There's something for everybody there. You can continue supporting the restaurants in your community, these small restaurants that need your business. Support them through the DoorDash app. And through that DoorDash app, you're going to get a safe delivery because they will drop it off at your door with contactless delivery. Okay? It's just going to be left safely outside your door. No need to handle money. No need to sign. Just boom, go pick it up. It's safe. With over 300,000 partners in the United States, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos, like I just said. Or if you want to order from a chain restaurant, sure, grab some Chipotle, grab some Cheesecake Factory, go for it. These restaurants are all still open for delivery, even if you're somewhere where you can't go sit down. So DoorDash is the way to go. And right now, Locked On Celtics listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
I don't want to sound like Paul Pierce after game one of the Celtics-Bucks series last season, but I think the Sixers are done. They are done. This isn't like the Bucks. They were the higher seed, and they've got Giannis and the MVP and all that. These Sixers are toast. All it takes is for the Celtics to come out hot in the first quarter. Like, I think they've got, like I said earlier, about a quarter to a quarter and a half left of fight in them. I think these Sixers are, they've got enough energy to come out and, like, throw the big punch and see if it can make the Celtics' knees wobble. And if the Celtics can withstand whatever big punch and counterpunch, I don't think the Sixers have any fight beyond that. I think they look like disjointed. Nothing's changed from the regular season. All of the same problems that they've had before, they still have. Some of these problems are exacerbated without Ben Simmons there because it just lets Jason Tatum go nuts. And he's had, what, 64 points over the two games? It's just an amazing performance. And there's just nobody to check him. They're getting nothing out of Al Horford. Free Al Horford. Make a trade. The Sixers have to make a trade because Al Horford's not working there. And I'm sure he's very, very willing to get the hell out of there. They need to make a trade to send him somewhere that can use him and use him well, because I don't think he's done. I don't think he suddenly forgot how to play basketball. I just don't think he's in a good situation at all. Like, if there's a way for the Celtics to get him back, sure, let's do it. Let's get him back into Boston, because Brad Stevens knows how to use him. That would be amazing. But that team is just a mess. Joel Embiid, he's so talented. He's so talented, but he's just not going to do the things he needs to do, I don't think. Not in this situation. And on the Celtics broadcast, Mike Gorman asked Scal, during this run, like, what do you do if you're Brett Brown? And Scal's like, start looking for a new job. You know, like, that's all he could do. Like, Brett Brown, after this, even without Ben Simmons, to go out like this, unless they find something somewhere, one of these guys just takes it upon himself to make this a series. They're going to go out. They're going to get swept, or at least five games. Like the Celtics, when they're going, man, they're going. And the Sixers got nothing to stop them. I've seen barely anything from the Sixers that makes me think, you know, if they do any of this stuff like really well, the Celtics, they're going to like wilt. The Sixers might have something here. There's nothing. There's none of that. I don't know what the Sixers can do at this point. They switch their starting lineup. Okay. That sort of worked for like 8 minutes. If the Sixers weren't hitting everything in the first quarter, the Celtics would have eventually, I think, they could have been up 35. So, I don't know. I got to look at this game again and see what adjustments can be made, but I don't see it from the Sixers. And that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout is. Brett Brown probably gone. Is Elton Brand gone? There's just so much disarray in there. You might see two guys lose their job. You might see players traded. And what happens to Embiid's reputation? I mean, look at the numbers that he put up. I said it before. You look at the numbers that he put up, but I don't know how anybody can look at that game and be like, yeah, Embiid was fine. Embiid was fine. Everybody else is the problem. Like, I didn't see any takeover from Embiid. I didn't see him dominate down low at all. He doesn't know how to dominate without dribbling the ball five times in the post. And if the Celtics are going to dig like this and have success, now every other team's just going to dig. They're going to do the same thing. The Celtics are laying out the blueprint now for how to guard Embiid. So, it's wild, man. This is wild. I can't believe the Sixers had this season. The people who said, and I heard people say it all year long, this Sixers team reminds them of last year's Celtics team. And, man, it's just right on. All the way down to the just resounding thud of the end of their season. We'll see what happens in game three. I could be wrong, but if the Sixers are down 15 at halftime, then the Celtics are going to win that game by 40, and game four is just going to be a farce. We'll have Taco Fall playing the entire second half of game four, if that's the case. We're going to see. Plenty more to talk about on the Friday show. And then remember, Thursday night, draft lottery. Jake Madison and I are going to have live reactions on Locked On Live. So you can find that on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch. It's at Locked On Live. Please go follow Locked On Live. You'll get notified as soon as we go live. And we'll have a post lottery show. Who knows? Who knows? What if Memphis shocks everybody and they somehow get that top pick? Then they get to keep it in this crappy draft and the Celtics get it unprotected in next year's good draft. So you want to watch just to see that. So again, it's at Locked On Live and it will be on Locked On Live Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch. So please subscribe to that. If you're a regular listener here, thanks for doing that, subscribing here, giving that good 5-star rating, good written review. If you're a new listener, hope you've enjoyed the show. Subscribe, please, or follow on Spotify. And thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.